Open with me to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. God loves coffee because he brews. Wah, wah, wah. Some of you will catch that later. It's one of my corny jokes for the day. But we're going to be talking about faith today. We're going to be talking about fearless faith. And to be quite honest, in order to have faith, you have to be fearless. Because true faith is believing the impossible. True faith is trusting God to do something that you can't do on your own. If you could do it on your own, you wouldn't need faith. So in order to have real faith, you have to be fearless. We learned last week that God will do nothing without faith, and the devil can do nothing without fear. The devil will keep you into areas of your life that are no good for you based on fear. Fear of trying something new. Fear of doing something that you weren't thought you could do. But God only moves and responds to our faith. And it's important, I want you to get this. You have to have faith. And the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. The reason why it's impossible to please God, because you can't be in relationship. He can't move on your behalf without faith. Faith is the currency of heaven that makes everything happen. Without faith, you can wish upon a star. You can believe the Disneyland lie if you want to. You can wish upon a star. You can cry about it. God doesn't respond to needs. God doesn't just show up because you need him to. God doesn't respond to needs. If that was the case, then a lot of broke people would have God showing up. He doesn't respond to needs. He doesn't respond to pity parties. He doesn't respond because you feel bad about the situation. He doesn't respond because you hate your marriage. He doesn't respond because somebody needs to change. God doesn't respond to anything except faith. And without faith, God won't move. Without a trust and belief that he can do the impossible, it will never happen. Without a trust and belief that God can change you from the inside out, you will never change. Without a trust and belief that God can keep you pure until marriage, you won't stay pure. Without a trust and belief, without faith, you cannot operate in the full function that he wants for you, and you will always sink. You will always be caught up with what your senses can see. Let me read something for you in Hebrews. Are you there? Verse 1, it says this: faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. In the King James Version, it says this: now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. See, faith is the thing that goes against everything that we can see, touch, feel, or taste. See, everything in our natural senses makes us believe one thing, but faith goes against anything that we feel. It goes against anything we can see. Faith doesn't make sense. Let me just say that. Faith doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. We just gave a tithe to God. Some of you tithe. You give 10% of your income to God. It doesn't make sense. Why would I give God 10% of my hard-earned money? I'm left with less. And he's supposed to take my less and make it last longer and bless me more. See, that's faith. Faith says, God, I trust you with my resources. I'm not depending on my own ability to budget and make it all work. I'll do my part, but I'm trusting you first, and you're going to take care of the rest. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense for someone to stay pure till marriage. Everyone else is having sex. Everyone else is doing it. I can do it and not get pregnant, and you probably can. What doesn't make sense is, why should I reserve myself for one person, and is God really going to send that one person to me? It doesn't make sense. But faith in God doesn't go against how we feel. Everyone feels horny. Everyone feels physical attraction to the other sex. It doesn't make sense to go against what I feel like. It doesn't make sense to go against my passions of my life. But faith says, I'm trusting God for something different than what I cannot see right now. It is the evidence that I believe something that I can't see. And faith is a substance. The Bible says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. You're hoping for something, faith is the thing that people can see. Meaning, faith should be something that's evident in your life. If people can't see it, you probably don't have it. Let me break that down for you. If I put water into a cup, into a glass, even though the glass is clear and the water is clear, you see the substance of H2O in the glass. Do you know what I'm talking about? Okay, I don't know about you. I haven't seen air. Anyone ever seen air? No, you can't see air. But when the wind blows and the trees move, or when you see stuff scatter across the ground, you definitely see a substance that the wind obviously does exist. Even though you can't see it, there are elements that say that gives me substance that the wind is real, that air is really there. Does that make sense? Faith is the thing that people can see that you believe what you say you believe, and you're trusting in what you're saying you're trusting in. Faith is the tangible thing. It should be evident. People should see it in your life to go, that person must have some faith, because it takes someone ridiculous to believe that. Let me help you understand this. You can't say, God, I trust you with my life, but there's nothing tangible for people to see to go, that person trusts God with their life. Still not making sense here. Let me help you. You can't say, God, I trust you with my life, but then keep doing what you used to do before you said, I trust you with my life. You can't say, I trust you with my life, and then be drunk every weekend, because that's not showing a trust in God. You can't say, God, I trust you with my finances, but then I'm not generous, I'm a stingy tipper, and I never give to God anything. I don't tithe, I don't give offerings, I don't do nothing. You can't say, I trust God with my finances, but am I making sense? You can't say, God, I trust you with my marriage, but not do it God's way. There's got to be some physical evidence. It's tangible. Faith is not just when you wish upon a star. It's not just thinking something in your head, and, ooh, I got faith to believe that. No, there has to be some evidence, something that someone can go, that's faith. That's faith. You can't go, well, I got faith that if I jump off this cliff that my parachute's going to work. It's not really faith until you jump off the cliff and find out if the parachute really works. You can talk about it all day long. You can think about it all day long. But it hasn't yet become faith until you act on what you say you believe. So what I want to encourage you today is to start acting on what you're trusting God for. Because if you don't act, you will always live at a minimal level of what God expects for your life. And you will never see the fullness that God has for you. You'll complain, you'll get bitter, you'll get frustrated, you'll blame people in the church, you'll be mad at people when you see them advancing and you're still in the same spot. When people start getting better jobs and you're still stuck in the same rut that you're in, you'll get frustrated because you won't step out in faith, and the only thing that will cause you not to step out is fear. We're called to be fearless, full of faith, willing to jump out and do some crazy, stupid things for God. Someone say amen. Matthew chapter 14, I'm going to read something out of Scripture because I want to give you an instance where someone just did some crazy stuff in faith. Before I do that, let me talk to you about another man that comes to mind. His name's Noah. Noah in the Old Testament, he's an old man. He's up in his later in his years. And the Bible says that he's the only righteous man living in the land. He's the only one that loves God. That's it. Some of you have a hard time living for God in a church of 700 people who love God, let alone being the only one. Being the only one. This man was the only one in the entire land that lived righteously for God. He made a choice, even though the whole culture said, we're going to live how we want to. He was the only man that said, God, I'm going to do it your way. That takes a lot of faith. And in that moment, God speaks to Noah and says, hey, Noah, I'm going to send rain, and I need you to build me a boat. Now, to us who experience rain all the time in the Pacific Northwest and go boating, it just makes logical sense to us. But for Noah, he lived in the desert where there were no lakes and ponds and streams. And actually, at this particular time, it had never rained before ever. No rain, no drizzle, no raindrops keep falling on my head, none of that. The water came up from underneath the ground, and it was like well springs. It was like, we still see it in our society today, where there'll be water streams, where water's just there. We don't know how it got there, but it's just coming from underneath the ground. And that's how all of everything was fertilized. That's how everything grew. And God told Noah, I'm about to rain, it's about to flood, and this whole wicked and faithless generation is going to be cut off. But since you believe, Noah, and since because you trusted me and you had faith in me, I'm going to save you and your family, and I'm going to keep one of every kind of animal so that they can reprocreate and fill the earth after the flood is gone. And so Noah, he begins to build this boat. And the boat didn't take 5 minutes. Some of you don't even wait 5 minutes for God to come through. The boat didn't take 2 years. 2 years? Some of you can't wait 2 years for God to do nothing. 10 years go by. 15 years go by. 20 years go by. 70 years go by. 99 years go by. 100 years go by. Now watch this. For the whole 100 years, he's building a boat, going to get wood that's not easy to find to build this boat that is the size of 3 football fields. And he builds this boat. And so here's Noah, an old man. His family's making fun of him. Dad, are you sure? Are you sure it's going to rain? Because I ain't seen no water in 88 years. His cousins are making fun of him. The neighbors making fun of him. Oh, look at crazy Noah. Ain't been. Where's that boat going to do? Until all of a sudden, thunder and lightning hit the place. And now everyone wanted to have faith then. I'm completely convinced that if anywhere in that 100-year time frame, that someone would have said, Noah, I believe. God would allow them to come in the boat. But the Bible says, up until the point of rain, no one believed. There was partying and wild living and disrespect for God up until the rain hit. I want to tell you something today. Some of you are missing the boat in your life because you won't believe. Some of you are missing the boat in your life in your relationships because you won't believe. Some of you are missing the boat in your life in your marriage because you won't trust God. Some of you are missing the boat in your life in your finances because you won't trust God. And you're going to laugh and complain at everyone else who's given up everything for God. Oh, I can't believe you tithe. Oh, I can't. You serving at the church, they're taking advantage of you. I can't believe you would give up and serve at the church. They're just using you. Some of you are getting ridiculed and getting talked about because you got faith. Let me tell you something. You keep having faith and you keep serving God and you keep trusting him, and he's going to take care of you, and he's going to provide for you, even though everyone else will be naysayers. You keep going, and some of you, I'm encouraging you, you're missing the boat because you won't believe. And then you'll be, I'm telling you, you're going to be frustrated when the rains come. Then it's too late to believe. When the marriage is over, it's too late. When you've done that crime and you're sitting behind a jail cell, it's too late. When you're pregnant, it's too late. The door's going to shut on you. Not that it's too late to get into heaven, but now you've got these hash marks in your life that never had to be there if you just would have had faith. If you just would have had faith, you wouldn't have had to have that abortion. You wouldn't have had to have that thing. If you would just had faith. If you have a bunch of hash marks in your life, the good news is the door's still open. And if you choose today to increase your faith, you can still get in the boat. Does that make sense? Faith. It's believing God to do something that you cannot do on your own. Noah couldn't make it rain. Noah didn't even know how to build a boat. Noah had never even seen a boat, especially one to that magnitude. But he built it in faith. He trusted God and God showed up. Here we are, Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. Immediately after Jesus insisted that his disciples got back in the boat and cross over to the other side of the lake. And while he sent the people home, after sending them home, he went up into the hillside by himself to pray. And night fell when he was there alone. And meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had arisen and they were fighting heavy waves. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them, walking on the water. And when the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, did you catch that? In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost." And these guys, God told them very simply, go to the other side. He gave them their word. When God speaks, you can guarantee that it's going to accomplish what it's supposed to accomplish. He's not a man that he should lie. He would never send you on a mission that's impossible. If God said, get to the other side, I don't care hell and high water, no matter how big the wind and the waves get, I don't care how bad it gets along the way, you will get to the other side. Some of you keep praying for God to take you out of stuff, and God's not in the business of taking you out of stuff. He's in the business of taking you through some stuff, because you don't learn anything when he just takes you out of it. You don't learn any patience. You don't learn any perseverance. You don't build no character. It's when we go through stuff that the nasty stuff in our life comes up to the top and we really see our true colors. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed that in your marriage, you don't ever see your spouse's true colors until there's an argument? Now tell me how you really feel. You see what I'm saying? When pressure is applied on our life, when the wind and the waves come upon our life, and it comes through all different circumstances, comes through health, comes through relationships, comes through finance, comes through jobs, comes through friendships, the pressure comes. We don't pray, God, take me out of this. We pray, God, take me through this. The biggest thing is God's not asking you to get out of it. He's asking you to stand strong in the midst of a crazy situation. Because when you stand strong, your faith is increased. You're built up even stronger. You have now more patience. Your faith, you're anchored on what he said. Even though it doesn't seem like it's about to happen, I'm anchoring myself. I'm keeping my eyes focused on him. Even though the rest of my senses tell me there's a whole lot of other stuff where I'm not going to be able to succeed. Your senses will blind you. Your senses will fool you. And so here we are. These guys, they're in the boat. Jesus told them, go to the other side. The wind and the waves are going up, and they're looking like a bunch of sissies in the boat. Verse 27. But God spoke to them at once. Don't be afraid. Look, anybody that's trying to step out in faith, you're going to trust God with your finances. You're going to trust God with your life. You're going to try to remain pure until marriage. You're going to give God that area. You're going to let God have that access. My word of encouragement to you would be this. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Some of you, you can't kick the drug because you're afraid of what the detoxing process is going to feel like. Don't be afraid. God will get you through. Some of you are in toxic relationships and you feel like, if I get out of those toxic relationships, then I'm going to have no relationships. Let me tell you something. Don't be afraid. God will get you through. Some of you that are going to begin to trust God with your finances, and God asking 10% of your income, you're going, well, I don't make that much already. How am I going to provide? Listen, don't be afraid. Trust God anyway. He'll make a way for you. I don't know what God is asking of you, and I don't know where your faith is being tested, but let me tell you this. Trust God anyway. Don't be afraid. The devil wants you to be afraid so you never can reap the benefits of the blessings that God has for your life. And if you live in fear, you will always be on the outside of the door. You will never be in the boat. You'll always be on the outside. He tells him, don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here. Then Peter called to him, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you, walking on the water. Yes, come, Jesus says. So Peter went over the other side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. And Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. You have so little faith, Jesus said. Why did you doubt me? And when they climbed back in the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshiped him. You really are the Son of God, they exclaimed. Let me say something to you. Some of you have enough faith to start, but not enough faith to finish. Part of that is because you won't fasten yourself to the Word of God. I'm going to go there in a minute. But you won't fasten yourself. You'll start good. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You come to church on Sunday and you get supercharged like, I am really going to make that decision. I am really going to do it. I am really going to go home and make that change. I am not going to do that thing ever again. You really feel it and no one can talk you out of it. It's real on the inside. You really do feel it. And then once you get going and the cares of life and the wind and the waves begin to turmoil in your life, you take focus off what God said and you begin to trust in your senses. And you can't follow through. The good news is Jesus will rescue you. And he'll save you. And this is what I'm convinced of. I want to encourage you because I want you to know I'd rather be a wet water walker than a dry boat talker any day. I'd rather have stepped out and got a little wet because my faith was underdeveloped than have no faith at all. See, some of you won't even get out the boat at all. And you'll talk about people who get out the boat. Oh, you're trying to do that church thing again. Oh, you think you're going to go to church and our marriage is going to get better? I'd rather be a wet water walker than a dry boat talker any day. And I want to encourage you, if you have begun to drown, the good news is get back up. Jesus is right with you. Strengthen your faith. Know that God will bring you through and keep attempting to walk on that water over and over and over and over again. And those of you that are dry boat talkers, just talk about people who step out in faith. Oh, you're believing God to do that? Get wet. Get wet already. What are you afraid of? You afraid he's going to sink? You afraid you can't get clean? You afraid your marriage won't? You afraid that God's actually really going to change you? What are you afraid of? That fear is keeping you from being the man or the woman that God never intended you to be. That fear is keeping you in a cocoon that you don't want to live in. And that fear is having you cycling that same thing over and over and over again. What an experience. Think about that. And Peter had a story to tell his grandkids. Hey, son, I walked on water. 3 steps. Holla at your boy. I trusted God for my marriage and it's working. I trusted God for my kids and it's working. I'm trusting, I gave him my life. And yeah, I sacrificed a lot of stuff. And yeah, I might have got a little bit wet. And maybe I should have walked a little bit better. But I'm standing. I'm here. See, the truth is, church, faith is active. Peter could have said, if it's you, God, let me walk on water. And he said, all right, come. And he goes, mm-mm. Faith is active. The Bible says faith without works is dead. You can't say you believe if you never live out what you believe. You can't say you trust if you never step out and actually trust. You can't say God's on my side if you're not on his side. You can't say God's for me and God's going to help me through this, but your life is just so chaotic. You gotta team up with the right man. You can't say God can free people from addiction, but he can't free. Have you ever noticed that a lot of people will say God can do something in your life that they're not practicing in theirs? God can save your marriage. And they've been divorced 5 times. Well, God's going to help you with your finances, and they're at the pawn shop. You see what I'm saying? You can't say you have faith in something if you don't have an action plan that demonstrates what you believe. You can't say, God, I believe God can take this pornography addiction from me, but you're still keeping the internet on and the cable on. You need to destroy whatever is causing you to sin. Toxic relationships, places, habits, all those different things, because God's got something so huge for you. You don't even know how big a plan that God has for you, but it comes through faith. It comes to, why would God want to use me? Because he loves you that much? Believe that you're valuable to him. Believe that he's got a plan for you. No matter how many times you messed it up, God's still got a plan and purpose for you. God still wants to use you. He wants to encourage you. The best is yet to come. But it takes you to trust in faith that he can actually repair all the dumb stuff that you did, and then trust in faith that I'm going to walk it out the way he said for me to walk it out. True faith is trusting God to do something that you cannot do on your own. If you could do it on your own, that's not faith. If you said, oh, I got faith that I'm going to get this job and your dad's the boss, that's not faith. You're going to get the job. Your dad's the boss. But if you have no training, if you have no education for that job, if you don't even know nothing about it, but you really feel like I'm trusting in faith that God's going to give me that. Now you got some faith. Because you don't deserve to be in that arena based on your accolades, but God can overcompensate what you don't possess. Some of you don't have a high school diploma and your rap sheet is terrible and nobody would want to hire you. But in faith, God gave you something that you could not get on your own. That's by faith. But just because you got it, you can figure it out. That's not faith. That's not faith. Faith is trusting God to do something that you cannot do on your own. So let me ask you this. What are you trusting God to do that you cannot do on your own? If you're not trusting him in any area of your life, your faith is looking a little right about now. What are you trusting God to do in and through you that you cannot accomplish on your own? Have you ever thought about that? If not, you've just been existing. You're not jumping off the edge. What are you trusting God to do that you cannot do on your own? Some of you have family members that are sick. Are you trusting God for healing for their life? Some of you, you have so many obstacles in front of you that are challenging you. Are you trusting God to do what you cannot do? Some of you are facing wind and waves every single day of your life by different circumstances. Are you trusting God to believe that you can, I can't do this, God, but you can? That's where your faith is activated, when you trust him to do what you cannot do. If you can do it, you don't need God. And if you don't need God, then you're God by yourself. You got to begin to trust God for areas that you can't, that are impossible. All things are possible with God. Without God, it's impossible. And some of you got to begin to trust God for the impossible so that you can have something to testify about. So you can brag on God. God did this in me. I couldn't do it in myself, but God did it in me. I can brag on him now. But if I could do it by myself, I'm bragging on myself. Look, there's no reason why I should be preaching to you this morning. If you go back to the old Mekon, everyone that know me would go, man, that's impossible that Mekon's a pastor. God did this in me. I can't take any credit for it. I don't have no theology doctrine. I don't have years of education. I'm an untrained man, just like the disciples. But here I am encouraging us to love God and to love people. And I didn't do it. God did it inside of me. I can't take any credit for it. So when you go, you're awfully smart, I go, no, I'm not. Believe me, I mess up words all the time. But God did something impossible in me that I can't do on my own. So by faith, I believe that God, whatever I'm saying is from you and it's going to reach people's lives. People go, I felt like you were talking to me. That's because God's talking to you. I don't know what you're going through. Listen, some of you know what I'm talking about. You'd be like, man, was he looking at me the whole time? I swear, did he know that I went out last night? Look. I don't know nothing about you. I'm just being honest. I don't know. But by faith, what I'm saying is the oracles of God. It's His words, and it's touching the lives where He sees like He wants to touch it. I don't do that. You know, I didn't check the Facebook report right before I preached and said, they need to know about faith. I don't know. But I want you to know, at our church, we want to have big faith. We want to believe God for impossible things. Like, we really want to believe for over 10,000 people to get saved in our city through the ministry of our church. We really want to believe that we're just not giving away backpacks. And even though it might seem like 1,500 backpacks, that's a lot of backpacks, I would say it's not enough. We want to reach our city and do big things for God. Things that we can't accomplish on our own. If we could accomplish them, then it takes God out of the equation. We really want to see, look, I want to see homeless people get saved. I want to see people that are standing on the corner with the signs get saved. I want to see people that are working at the Sexpresso stands get saved. I want to see the drug dealer and the person addicted get saved. I want to see the pimp, the prostitute, and everyone in between get saved. I want the middle class American that thinks they don't need God to get saved. I want the person who's got everything financially but are dead broke spiritually to get saved. I don't know all those people. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I got faith that God can reach the highways and the byways and reach the people far from God and get them back to relationship. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I believe it in faith. Some of you today in this room are a recipient of our faith. We trusted God you would come, and you just think because someone asked me I came. No, because God moved on our behalf because we were praying for lost people, and so God prompted you on your heart to show up. He responded to our faith. Some of you might even be here. I don't even be at church. I don't even need to be here. I didn't feel like I need to be there when I got saved either. I was making fun of the preacher the whole time, like maybe some of you are right now. I was making fun of him. Big old bug-eyed preacher. You go, what are you talking about? And after, Jesus, save me. I'm crying like a big baby. I wasn't expecting it, but someone's faith activated God to move on my behalf. It's faith. Faith, write this down if you're taking notes. If not, you should be taking notes because this is really good. Faith is activated in prayer. And faith is strengthened by His word. And faith is accomplished by our actions. For those of you that are new to Christianity, these are key essential things that you have to have in your life. And some of you have been a Christian a long time. I'd encourage you to live these things out louder. Faith is activated by prayer. Prayer is communication with God, talking with God. Sort of like how I'm talking to you. You don't have to have a special voice. You don't have to have a special closet, special clothes. No, you can pray in your shower. You can pray in your car. You can pray when you're walking through the hallway. You can pray anytime you want to pray. Conversation with God. Sometimes it sounds like this. Lord, will you just please help me? Because I'm about to smack that lady if you don't help me. Sometimes it really sounds like this. God, I'm broken for the city. God, help me get a passion for the lost. Help me to love those people that don't even love themselves. Those people that hurt me, can you help me to love them? Can you help me to love my enemies? Sometimes it's more serious and intense. Other times it's just like, man, I'm having a difficult time at work. God, I need you to help me. I'm not going to tell you how to pray. What I will say is this. Your faith is activated when you do pray. Nothing happens until you speak it. That's why the Bible says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. If you don't confess, your faith is never activated. You got to confess it. Jesus is my Lord. Because if you don't confess it, there's no accountability on what you're saying. You can't. When you wish upon a star, you just can't wish things for God. You can't. You got to have faith. Faith is activated when you say, when you ask God for something, when you ask Him to move on your behalf, when you ask Him for help, when you ask. Some of you don't have no faith because you don't pray. There's nothing for God to move on because you're not asking anything. The Bible says, if my people who are all called by my name will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, I will come and heal their land. He's not coming if we don't pray, if we don't turn, if we don't declare, if we don't have faith, it's not going to happen. You got to pray. It's an essential ingredient to the Christian life, communication with God, and it activates our faith. That's why some of you who are in trouble, when you say, God help me, He comes. Because you activated Him. He heard your cry. He heard your petition. What's amazing is He would do that all the time. But you don't do it except when you're in trouble. God, I'm about to lose my job. Can you please help me? And He shows up and He helps you. You don't understand that you can pray anything in His name according to His will, and He'll say yes. Anything. The Bible says, if you pray anything in my name according to my will, it shall be so. It's never even activated because it doesn't even come out your mouth. You got to pray. You got to say something to God. Secondly, it's strengthened by His word. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. That's why some of you come here and you leave here feeling stronger. You want to know why? Because the word of God that I'm speaking to you, that we're receiving through worship and through the message and through prayer, all of a sudden that word gets inside of you and you feel stronger, except you don't do it by yourself. When you get home throughout the week, you're not echoing what God says. You're not taking your spiritual steroids. You're not getting more of it in you. So then by Wednesday, you're weak again. And you're begging God for Sunday to come. Oh, if Sunday could get here any sooner. No, look, every day, you can get stronger by the word of God. You get strengthened by the word because all of a sudden you see stories or you see scriptures that God will pop off the page to you that's going through the same. God, I need help with my marriage. Then all of a sudden it will say, a nagging wife is like a constant drip. And you'll be like, oh, Lord Jesus, please help me not to be a nagging wife. Oh, man, this wife is getting on my nerves. In Ephesians, submit to one another. Dang. Okay, I'm getting stronger now. God, help me with this addiction. Then all of a sudden you read in James, you become a slave to whatever you choose to obey. And then you go, okay, I'm not going to be a slave to that addiction anymore. I'm going to choose to obey the Holy Spirit and let Him lead my life. You are now strengthened by. Are you ready to get in the Word? So faith is activated by when you pray, but then it gets stronger. It almost, basically, it gets anchored when you have the Word of God to stand on. It's like faith, when you just speak it, it's just a thought. It's starting something, but it's not going to keep you until you get this inside. Well, I don't understand this. Well, keep reading. He'll bring you understanding. Keep trusting. And all of a sudden, little by little, your feet will get more stable. You'll get more stronger. Half of the reason, a huge percentage of why people roller coaster in church and Christianity is because they won't pray and they won't read His word. Let me just help you understand this. For those of you in this room that are completely honest with yourself, that struggle in your relationship with God, meaning you don't come to church consistently, or you come consistently, but there's a lot of inconsistencies in your life, I would believe you don't pray and you don't read faithfully. Don't raise your hand, but just do a heart check. Do you pray every day? Do you read every day? And if you pray and read every day, I guarantee you, your life is not going to be a roller coaster. I guarantee you, you won't struggle with all the things you struggle with. Because faith is activated by prayer and it's strengthened by the word. And then lastly, it is accomplished by our actions. Which means you can't just think it and read it. You got to be it. Just because you prayed about it and you read about it, you have to be about it. You can't just say, God, I'm trusting you with this, and I read it, and now it's getting stronger in my heart. You have to act upon what you're saying you're trusting in Him, and you got to act upon what you're believing Him for and what His word says. You got to act it out. That's why it says, faith without works is dead. God doesn't want us to be just a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. You can't say, God, I need you to restore my marriage, and then read scriptures on marriage, but then cuss him out when he come home late. You can't say, God, I need help with this addiction, and you see where people's chains are being broken off their life, and so now you're getting strengthened, and then go back to the same dumb house where you know you're going to get high again. You got to make some, if that means you never talk to that person again, so be it. If that means you never drive down that road again, so be it. If that means you break your cell phone and get rid of all your quarters so you can't make a phone call at a pay phone, a cell phone, a house phone, so be it. Anything that's preventing you from living the will of God, you need to destroy out of your life because it will always keep you shackled. You can't have faith to believe it and have word to be strong on it, but not have any action that proves that you believe what you read and believe what you say. Faith without works is dead. You got to have faith. So here's a question that I'm just going to ask everybody. What kind of faith do you have? What kind of faith do you have? Do you have little faith? Do you have underdeveloped faith? Do you have great faith? Only you can answer this question. My encouragement to you that hopefully today you'll leave here with more faith. Believing God for great things for your life. Believing that no matter what happened yesterday, something good can come out of my life. No matter how bad I mess it up, or no matter how bad it's been, or how good it's been up to this point, it can be better. Because God's got glory to glory for me. That God wants to restore my family and all my kids to be saved. And he wants me to be living God-fearing and serving and committing my life to him. And him be able to use me to do great exploits for the kingdom. What kind of faith do you have? I'm going to give you some categories, Jordan. You can come, and then you can gauge where your faith's at. First and foremost, what kind of faith do you have for yourself? What are you asking God to help you with? What kind of faith do you have for yourself? Are you asking God to help you with your finances? Are you asking God to help you to love people? Are you asking God to help you be consistent? Are you asking God to help you with your temper? Are you asking God to help you stay pure? Are you asking God to use you in a new way that you never thought you could be used? What are you having faith for God to do for yourself? Because the truth is, if it doesn't start with you, it will never spill over to any other area. You can't believe God to reach a city if you can't believe God to reach you. You can't believe God to reach your son or daughter if you're not believing God to reach you. Here's one thing a pastor friend told me, and it stuck with me my whole life. He said this: you can't give your kids something you ain't got. You can't give your kids purity if you won't live purity. You can't give honor and respect to your kids if you're not living honor and respect. You can only give your kids what you got. If all you got is divorce, it's what you're going to give your kids. If all you got is addictions, it's what you're going to give your kids. If all you got is belittling people, it's what you're going to give your kids. You can only give your kids what you got. My life, I was given a whole bunch of stuff that was not good for me. And ever since I've been in a relationship with Jesus, I've been fighting against the things I've been given. I've been fighting against the things I've been given. Some of you got kids. Some of you come to church just for your kids. Sweet Life can't give your kids what you won't give them. We'll do our best. And our job is to show them that everything is sweeter with God. And God's got a great plan for them. But when they get home and hear you and see you, you're going to give your kids what you got. How do I know? Because all of us said things like this: I'm never going to be like my mom. I'm never going to do like my dad. And then you find yourself doing that stuff. And now you got to reprogram your mind to fight against those things. You can only give your kids what you got. What are you asking God for your life? Are you in his word? How much faith do you got? Are you in his word? Because faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Are you in this? This increases your faith. It gets you stronger. Are you in his word? If you're not, it might demonstrate how much faith you got. Does your actions reflect what you believe? Does your actions match up with what you're asking God for and trusting Him for? Do your actions match up? God, I'm believing you for a job. Have you filled out an application lately? Have you gone to the job? Have you called back and nagged them every single day? Anything open yet? No, I ain't nothing open yet. Anything open yet? No, I ain't nothing open yet. Anything open yet? Are you the one that called 3 times in a row? Yeah, man. Come down here. We'll find a job for you. Have you nagged the heck out of them? Well, there's just no work and I've been trusting God. Does your action show that you're trusting God to give you a job? That's just one little degree. What kind of faith do you have for your family? What kind of prayers are you making to God? God, can you please help my husband because he's just so lazy. That's the best thing you can come up with? God, can you please just get her to shut up because she won't shut up. And I need 3 hours of silence, please. God, you know, I pray against little Tommy hanging around my son because he's evil and wicked. What kind of prayers do you have about your family? What do you believe in God for your family? Is it repairable in God's eyes? Is it manageable in God's eyes? Because I know your senses will fool you. Your senses will tell you they're never going to change. Your senses will tell you, man, you just like your daddy. Your senses will tell you, what are you going to trust God for? You going to go off how you feel about it? What you think about it? What you try to do on your own about it? Or are you going to believe God for something different? Let me just give you a newsflash for some of you parents who got little kids. Whether you homeschool, whether you private school, whether you public school, you will not get your kids out of an evil and wicked land. They will be exposed to things that other kids will expose them to. Other kids will expose them. They'll be cussing around them. They'll be doing drugs around them. They'll be having sex around them. You can't pray your kids out of an evil system. What you can pray, I pray my sons are honorable. I pray my sons stand up for purity. I pray my sons are leaders to their generation. I pray my sons always see the door of escape. I pray my sons will always speak with integrity. So you can speak to the things in their life that you want to come out of them instead of praying against all the things that's around them. You can do that same thing for your spouse, for your mom and your dad. God, I pray that you help my husband accomplish all the dreams in his heart. God, I pray that you help my wife be an encourager in everything, every duty she has, responsibility. God, I pray you make it easier for you, light the load for her. What are you praying about your family? And are you living that word out to them? Are you living that out? Are you demonstrating that? If you're praying for your wife, are you trying to be the better husband? If you're praying for your kids, are you encouraging them to grow in God? Or do you make it difficult? What do you believe in? What kind of faith do you have for our church? Are you praying for our leadership? Or are you complaining about our leadership? Just a side note for you. Complaining will never get you nowhere. Complaining will never get you nowhere. But prayer and faith changes everything. Are you praying for the leadership? Or are you complaining about the leadership? Are you asking God to do big things in our church? Or are you frustrated that big things are happening in our church? Are you contributing financially and personally with your time, your talents, and your treasure to the cause of the church? Or are you hands folded every time someone's asked you to do something? Oh, I don't want to serve because then I'll miss a sermon. And I don't want to work with those kids. Those kids are crazy back there. Every time it's your turn to volunteer, there's an excuse why you can't make it. Every time there's an offering, you're complaining about, no, I'm not buying a $5 backpack, but you'll buy a $1,200 TV in 2 rooms. No, I'm not giving an offering. No way. You drink your Starbucks every single day. Just saying. Where's your faith at? What kind of faith do you have for our city? Is everybody in the city a problem? I'm getting sick of the news myself. I'm getting sick of seeing people get shot innocently and all the victims due to gang violence and just the culture that we live in. Teenagers getting pregnant left and right. Is everybody a problem to you? What is your prayers about this city like? Is everybody a problem? Are you saying things like, oh man, those Mexican gangbangers, if they'd just be a little bit more stricter on the border, then maybe we wouldn't be having these problems in Yakima. Oh, that nasty old girl working at that coffee stand, I can't believe she's showing her stuff like that. Is everyone a problem? Or can you see the people through the lens of God and knowing that hurt people hurt people? Are you broken for them because you know they go back to a life that they really don't like? Does your heart break for the city? Or is everything one big problem? Hopefully God would strengthen your faith and you begin to pray and intercede for those gangbangers. Pray and intercede for that drug dealer, that they would know Jesus, that they would turn their life around, that they would give their life to Him, because hurt people hurt people. And truthfully, a lot of us in this room, we're on the opposite side at one time. How do you see the lost? Are you praying for the lost? Do you find your city in the Word of God? Do you see it in here? Do you see stories and go, man, that's my city. Oh God, help me to, I don't know how it's possible, help me, because I see you doing some great things in our city and I find it in the Word. Do you find your city in the Word? How are your actions demonstrating your faith for your city? How are your actions demonstrating that you actually believe God to do something impossible? When you drive by the homeless person, do you just look at him like, man, you just a sucker, man. You just out here hustling. Do you see him as an individual that really needs the love of Jesus, no matter how much he's using people? Just a thought. Do your actions show that you actually believe God to do something in the city? Oftentimes people will pray about something. God help the gangbangers, but they don't want to do nothing to help them. Do your actions demonstrate your care and concern for our city? What kind of faith do you have for yourself? What kind of faith do you have for your family? What kind of faith do you have for this church? What kind of faith do you have for our city? You be the judge. Examine yourself. But I will say this, that if we have greater faith in any one of those areas, if you allow God to build your faith in any one of those areas, build faith for yourself, build faith for your family, build faith for our church, build faith for our city, you will be astounded at what God can do. You'll be shocked at what your family can really look like. You'll be shocked at what your life can really look like. You'll be shocked at what this church can really look like. You'll be shocked at what our city really could look like if you would just get a little more faith. Just believe God, pray to Him, read His Word, and act out what you believe. If you just did that, you'd be astounded. There's going to be winds. There's going to be waves. But if you're anchored on Jesus and know that you don't have to be afraid because He's with you, nothing is impossible. If you can close your eyes and bow your heads.